You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last year, the nonprofit group Jesse Tree helped 668 families at risk of losing their homes keep a roof over their head. That's more than double the number of families they were able to help in 2020. These 2,000 people were either behind on rent, they were in eviction court, couch surfing, or some were even living out of their cars. All of them were facing homelessness. Over the last 3 years, Ali Rabi has grown Jesse Tree dramatically with a 95% success rate when it comes to keeping the people they help in housing. Ali is joining us live now to talk about Jesse Tree's annual report. Ali, nice to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Gemma.
So you helped more than double the number of families last year. How were you able to do that?
We were able to grow our program last year thanks to a temporary government grant that was passed through the CARES Act, as well as increased support from the community. With COVID and a really serious rise in the cost of housing, a lot of community members stepped up to help us more than ever before, and that just allows us to get more money out to folks in the community who need it.
So you not only helped more people last year, but you had a lot more requests for help. We should point out that you got more than 27,000 calls, texts, or emails. I mean, Ali, that is a surprisingly high number.
Yes, our phone is ringing off the hook every day, just like many other community partners, including the Housing Crisis Hotline here in the community. And we had 20 community volunteers fielding most of those calls and text messages for help, and we're able to give a lot of tenants just information about what they can do about their situation. Unfortunately, we're only able to support about 26% of the people who applied for assistance last year, but we're able to give at least everybody a little bit of information and support on the phone.
So when you say that you were only able to help about 26% of those folks, are you able to direct them to other services? I mean, because what happens to these folks that your organization may not be able to help?
Yeah, so we do. If there's anyone who applies for assistance, if we're unable to help them, we will refer them to other community resources. And right now there are other federal sources of rental assistance out there available through Boise City Ada County Housing Authority and Idaho Housing and Finance Association. And so we do refer people over to those resources, as well as Health and Welfare Navigation. If anybody applies and they are already experiencing homelessness, we refer them over to our partners at Our Path Home. So yes, we do a lot of referrals on the phone, trying to make sure that everybody who contacts us at least gets pointed in the right direction if we're not able to support them financially.
You've said in the past that 37% of households just in Ada County live paycheck to paycheck. That number is even higher in Canyon County. So who are the people you're helping? I mean, tell us a little bit about some of their stories.
So yeah, housing instability could really happen to anyone right now with the rising cost of rent and wages remaining the same over the past several years. More and more families are living on the line. And a lot of the families we see are you know, do everything they can to have a balanced budget, but at the end of the day, they just can't make ends meet. And a lot of the families we see are those families, and something unexpected comes up, like a healthcare issue, their kid gets sick. Last year, we saw a lot of folks that were quarantined from work because they had a COVID exposure or positive COVID test result, and they didn't get paid during those times. So really anything unanticipated can happen to the folks that we're seeing, and get to a place where they can't pay for basic expenses. And one common denominator too with most of the families we see is that they don't have family or friends that can step in and help them. Mm. And that is a really differentiating factor, I think, between the folks we serve and others who are able to figure things out on their own.
You know, can you talk a little bit about why we're? I know you've mentioned a couple of things already, but when we look at the maybe main factor behind why so many people are facing homelessness. I know that we like to maybe say, well, COVID-19, you know, the pandemic. However, when we look at housing values in the Treasure Valley, just from 2015 to 2020, they've gone up by 75%. But wages have not even come close to keeping up with that.
Yeah, wages have risen 18% over that same time period. So homelessness really, from our experience and the people that we're seeing, is an affordability problem at the root of it. In eviction court, 90% of the people that we're seeing are there simply because they can't pay their rent. It's not because they're putting holes in the walls or damaging the property. It's just because they can't afford it. And a real trend over the last couple of years, with a 37% increase in rent on average in Ada County last year, is that we saw a lot of folks in eviction court who had their rent increased by $350, even $500 a month, and they couldn't afford it, looked for a new place to live and couldn't find anything. And so here they are in court a month later. That's a big problem right now, is that for these people that are seeing these rent increases, which every tenant is at risk of experiencing, there's nowhere else to go that they can afford.
So I know a lot of the renters you're helping are battling late fees. Can you talk about how these late fees work and then why it's just so difficult to get past them?
Yeah, and we have a story about a renter that we served that was experiencing eviction because, in part, because of fees. She got COVID, and then her kids got COVID. So she was out of work for a month and fell behind in her rent, and she incurred a $25 late fee every single day that she was late. And she started to pay back her rent, but her rent was only applied to the fees. And so she was never able to catch up. That's just one example of many. And late fees are one major issue. We've seen even a $500 flat late fee as soon as somebody doesn't pay, which is just ironic because, you know, a lot of the reason why people don't pay the rent is because they can't. And additional fees on top of the rent at that point in time don't really help. So it's a big problem. We've seen all kinds of other fees imposed on renters as well. I think my team drew up a list of over 20 different types of fees they've seen on rent ledgers. And it's not always transparent to renters for the start what those fees are going to be and why they're being imposed. And it's not really possible for them to budget for those.
Let me reintroduce you for folks who are just joining us. We're talking with Ali Robbie, the executive director of Jesse Tree, talking about their 2021 annual report, but also the growing need for housing services. So, Ali, I know you mentioned that you've spent quite a bit of time in eviction court in the last year. Can you talk about what you were doing there, your organization, and what that looks like for folks who may not know?
Yeah, so we, through some work with our partners at Our Path Home and Boise School District and Health and Welfare, found that a lot of folks that were going to shelter had an eviction on their record. And so we set a goal to decrease the number of tenants that were getting that eviction on their record and try to target our resources at those people. And so with a partnership through University of Idaho's Housing Clinic, we started bringing our staff and legal interns into court every single week, and judges, trial court administrators, and mediators know we're there. They'll pull us in to any mediation that they think we could potentially intervene in, and we'll get those cases dismissed, pay back the rent that tenants owe, or even just work out an agreement with the landlord that allows them to stay in their unit for a little while longer, and then we'll pay for their security deposit. But last year, we were able to intervene in 95 of those cases, which was about 1 out of 10 of the cases in the Treasure Valley. And we got those dismissed and allowed those 95 families to keep that eviction off the record.
You mentioned security deposit assistance. I mean, that's a big deal for a lot of folks. And you actually started a new security deposit assistance program last April. Can you talk about what it is and how exactly it works?
Yes, we're very excited about that program because also with our partners identified a gap in services in the community where a lot of people were ending up homeless simply because they couldn't afford to get into a new place to live. Now security deposits are so expensive. You have to pay first month, last month, and security deposit, which can be up to $5,000. Some wow. people simply don't have that amount of money in their savings if they need to move. So we started this program and we're really targeting at people who are at high risk of homelessness. We do serve a lot of people who are couch surfing, living with friends and family, or even living in hotels. We'll help them get into a new place to live. We started the program with some seed funding from the Idaho Women's Charitable Foundation and now are able to use private donations and a temporary government grant to keep that going. But we were able to get 99 families into new homes last year and hoping to double that this year.
Mm. At the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned volunteers, especially on your housing crisis line. I am assuming you could not do what you do without the numerous volunteers that you have.
Yes, we very much depend on volunteers, not only our board, who assists us with all kinds of things, including the development of this annual report. But our when COVID first hit, demand on our phone line increased by 300%. And we had 20 people step up to help us, and they cover our phones Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, answering the phone, providing tenants with information, getting their applications submitted. Those same 20 people are still with us now. It feels like a lifetime, but 2 years yeah. later, and supporting us every day. It's amazing to see that.
So your goal for this coming year is to help 1,000 more families. How will you be able to accomplish that?
Yeah, so we've got a great team just trying to keep things going at the current pace, keeping our team going on the work that they've been doing for the last year. We also will need the community to continue to step up to help us by donating and volunteering on our phone lines. A lot of the donations that we receive go right to families, right to paying their rent. So hoping the community continues to step up for us and we'll be able to keep another 1,000 families housed this year.
Before I let you go, what is your hope as we move through 2022? Because we know that we're not going to likely see massive dips in the price of housing.
Yes. Housing service organizations right now are stretched really thin. Not only Jesse Tree, but you know, our partners at Catch and other nonprofits that do this work. We're seeing unprecedented demand for what we're doing. And you know, we try to focus on the wins and serving one family at a time. But we also need the community to ensure that good policies are getting passed, the local state levels, to ensure that we have more affordable housing options for people, more tenant protections. And, the community needs to advocate for affordable housing development in their own neighborhoods. And just like I said, donate and volunteer. Boise doesn't have such a bad homeless problem that we can't get ahead of it. You know, we have, I think, 2,500 individuals from the last numbers I looked at that are experiencing homelessness in the community, but that's compared to, you know, 10,000 plus in other urban centers around the Northwest. So we still can get ahead of this problem, but we do all need to come around to focusing on solutions that work, supporting one family at a time, but also looking ahead to what will our community look like in 5 or 10 years? And how do we keep this a wonderful place to live for everybody?
Well, and you noted that it's, you know, you gave numbers for Boise. I mean, we are a broader community than that. I am assuming that we have homelessness issues in Canyon County, you know, in other places of the Treasure Valley. And that has to also impact the work that you do.
Yep. And those are the numbers that we have that we can easily track. But there also is a much larger number of people who are couch surfing, living in their cars or RVs that we don't have numbers on. It's a much larger problem than that number, for sure. But our community, it's not so bad that we that we can't solve it. I do believe that we can solve this if we all come together around solutions that work.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. We've been speaking with Ali Rabi, Executive Director of Jesse Tree, about their 2021 annual report, as well as the growing need for housing services. It's always nice to have you on the program.
Thanks, Gemma, for having me.
Absolutely. Up next, a closer look at our Lieutenant Governor and her anti-government policies. That's coming up next.